Welcome back in another episode of the Wobcast 2.0. It's your host, Wobby, joined as always by my partner and my co-host, Giles. How's it going, buddy?
Hey, happy Friday. As a lot of my coworkers call this, the Diet Monday, the diet best day of the week. We're here for it. Going to be a good day. We're once again steps away from the NFL draft. I'm here for it.
Yeah, I am too. It is when I put notes together for this earlier in the week, I had, you know, the draft is 2.5 weeks away. But, you know, we're recording now and it's Friday. It's less than 2 weeks, Giles. This is crunch time for the NFL and scouting staffs and GMs across the league. They are definitely putting final prep together. There becomes a point, I think, where your board is set, your evaluations are done, you've had as many discussions as you can possibly have, and you're basically ready to go. And teams might be to that point. And then in that period of sort of inaction, the only thing that can materialize is speculation and rumor. And I think that's where we're at. And I know there are some things you might be hearing that we're going to talk about later in the show. But to start today, we're going to go through the three most likely scenarios that I think could unfold for the Vikings, specifically related to their first round pick. But actually, all three do involve both first round picks, because I really, not to give away all three of the most likely scenarios that I think could unfold, but they're all three trades. And I do think there's a reality out there that is possible where the trades are too rich or no one pulls the trigger and the Vikings stand pat at 11, Giles. I think that it's possible, but that I think would be the most surprising thing to me, is if there was no movement for Minnesota, they pick at 11 and they pick at 23.
I think the only scenario in which that truly occurs is if someone picks something that it wasn't predicted by the mass majority of people, where if number one, number two, number three pick someone that they don't think that we're going to pick, or they pick someone that we don't think they're going to pick, and then that ripple effects and the Vikings are high on one and not on the other. I think that's the only scenario in which that happens.
Okay. All right. Yep. I think you're probably right about that. So let's go through them. We'll go 3-2 and then 1, which is the most likely and what I think will be my official prediction on what the Vikings do. All right, so here we go.
All right, let's do it.
The third most likely scenario for the Minnesota Vikings is they trade up from 11 to number 5 with the Chargers, and they select J.J. McCarthy. How would this unfold?
Okay.
Caleb Williams at 1.
I'd be here for that.
Okay. Caleb Williams at 1, Drake May or Jaden Daniels at 2, the other one at 3, Marvin Harrison Jr. at 4 to Arizona. This leaves the Chargers in the catbird seat and able to pit Minnesota, Denver, and Vegas against each other. And then anyone else feeling the need to move up and get a quarterback. Now, in this scenario with Minnesota, Denver, and Vegas vying for this number 5 position with the Chargers, the Vikings hold the edge because they have the most high-value draft capital at their disposal to come up to 5 with the Chargers. They have 11, 23, and next year's 1, which I believe they are prepared to trade to move up, and then they would take J.J. McCarthy. So the interesting dynamic here is the flirtatious relationship between Jim Harbaugh and the Vikings when they hired KOC a couple of years ago, and then Jim Harbaugh's relationship with J.J. McCarthy being his quarterback at Michigan. So all of that dynamic happening there would be interesting, and I actually don't know if that helps or hurts the prospects for a trade, but all of that does exist. But number 3 most likely scenario for the Vikings, trading up to 5 to get J.J. McCarthy. Giles, how would Vikings Nation grade that trade? They give up 11, 23 in next year's 1. They move up to number 5 and take J.J. McCarthy.
Honestly, I think the community of people that believe in J.J. McCarthy is starting to grow. I think that was a very small community going into this year's offseason, people saying, he's in a run for a system, he can't be a guy. And then slowly over time, week over week over week, people started to say, oh, I've watched a little more tape, or I've heard a little bit more about him, I'm starting to get excited. And now that Kirk Cousins is officially no longer a Minnesota Viking, people have officially known in their head and in their hearts that we have to go get a quarterback. And they've started to more seriously consider, all right, who is that guy going to be? And actually considering, all right, if it is J.J., J.J. McCarthy, that is, not J.J. Jefferson. Am I okay with that? And I think everyone I've talked to is now very high on that idea. So yeah. I think the short answer is I think this is an A+. Right after the draft, obviously, once he gets on the field and starts performing or not performing for that matter, I think then we'll have to grade it then. But I think right afterwards, I think people simply want us to trade up. Yeah. I think there is a faction of NFL fans, specifically in the Minnesota Vikings community, that question whether or not the Vikings have it in them as an institution to trade up. I think people have convinced themselves that we are against big splashy moves, which is so ironic to me because I think the Vikings are a team that are very into splashy moves. I think people forget. I think they have a very short memory on all the things that we've done in the recent past. Even the TJ Hawkinson trade should not be go understated. Yeah. When you look at the years past under the Wilfs organization, they like making big moves. And I think this will fit right into that.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Giles. I mean, even going back to, you know, the Spielman days when I was there, the Jared Allen trade and the Randy Moss mm-hmm. trade and, you know, Trader Rick is what everyone would call Rick because he was making so many moves in the draft, right? And you yeah. know, trading Percy Harvin away. You know, I do think the Vikings are in the mix when it comes to headlines and splashiness. Now, does it always work? Is it always the right move? No, it's not. But who is batting 1,000 in that regard? No one is. So, and this is going to be another chapter to that, Giles. I do believe there will be a trade here. Now, the number two most likely scenario is still a trade up, but it's a little less sensational. The number two most likely scenario for the Vikings in the first round is a trade up to number 7 with Tennessee. And how this would unfold is the same top four go: Williams, Daniels, May, Harrison go in the top four. But instead of trading back at 5, the Chargers say, you know what? We got to rebuild this roster. We're going to start with a stalwart left tackle. We're going to take Joel Alt at number 5. We're going to solidify our offensive line. Jim Harbaugh very clearly wants to be a big, physical, run-heavy team. Joel Alt would help him do that. Then the Giants at 6 take Malik Nabers, a wide receiver. They equip Daniel Jones with a number 1 threat on the outside. And that leaves Tennessee with their top choice, most likely Joel Alt, being gone, but two comparable left tackles still on the board in J.C. Latham and Fashanu from Penn State. And they feel comfortable enough moving back 4 spots from 7 to 11 with Minnesota and still getting one of those tackles. And then Minnesota comes up and they take J.J. McCarthy again here at number 7. I do believe, Giles, that in this scenario, you're probably trading 11 and 23 and retaining your first round pick next year. You're moving up 4 spots from 11 to 7. You're giving up 23. You're getting J.J. McCarthy. I would imagine that your evaluation of that deal would be as good or better because you're getting the same player and you're giving up less.
That is a really intriguing scenario and one that I don't know if I've heard before. So I'm really kind of taking this in. Okay. In fact, if you could get the board to fall this way, I'm very intrigued by this option. One, because it's only 2 first round picks versus 3. And I feel like the Tennessee Titans are a far more realistic option for us to trade with, to be honest, because I think one thing that's not getting talked about a lot is the Harbaugh connection to the Vikings. If you know, in your third scenario, Jim Harbaugh interviewed with the Minnesota Vikings and he did not get that job. And you have to believe that he has some pretty powerful sway over there in Los Angeles. I would hate for there to be resentment in his heart, but I think there's a chance that he could say, you didn't want me. We're not going to trade with you. Right. Yeah. And maybe that's not the case, but I think people are people and people sometimes can be vindictive and that could factor into a trade here, especially when it's for his guy, J.J. McCarthy. I think that's something that needs to be talked about a little bit more. So I think when you think about the different options for us to trade up, I'm really intrigued by Tennessee. Now, throwing one option in here, and I don't want to, maybe this is going to throw into your number one most likely scenario, but would you rather trade 11 and 23 this year to move up to number 7? Or would you rather trade 23, next year's first, and the year thereafter's first, and trade 3 first round picks instead of 2 this year?
Okay.
So you could retain 11.
You're saying to get up to 7, you get up to 7 from 23. Is that what you're saying?
Yep, you trade 23.
Yep.
2025's first and 2026 first round pick to get up to 7. Would you rather do that instead of or trade both of the first round picks this year and call it a day?
Oh man. You know, with Houston doing that last year and it working out so well, you're tempted, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's
especially with Byron Murphy on the board.
Tempted there.
If it works, it really works. If it doesn't work, that's going to blow up in your face.
So what are you thinking there? You're thinking the quarterback at 7 and then what at 11?
I would pick Byron Murphy the second, the defensive tackle, specifically looking to bolster two very important positions on your roster with two premier players. If you got JJ under center with all the best weapons in the NFL on offense, and then you go solidify your defensive line with Byron Murphy, you now have bolstered your defensive line into one of the best in the NFL, considering what we've done in this offseason in free agency. So, yep. I mean, this would be pulling a Houston for sure.
I would do that. I would do that.
Agreed.
I would do that. I think that the trade, the Tennessee trade, the number two scenario I mentioned is more likely and is also fair. But I think the sensational nature of what you're saying, Giles, I like. You're addressing in a very high-end way two significant holes on your roster, and you're signaling to the people already on your roster, you're signaling to them that we're winning this year. And
yeah, we're going in.
Yes, and I think that's important. And I think that Kwezi and KOC are at important junctures of their tenure where the first year was, you know, duckies, bunnies, and rainbows and all great, and last year was not. And so it's almost like this is the rubber match. Like this is the tiebreaker on what's the temperature that everyone is feeling here on this regime. And making a move like this, I think, is nudging the dial in your favor. And you don't want to be prisoners of the moment and short-sighted, but you also want to shoot your shot when it's time to shoot your shot. And the Vikings, everything they've done to this point is materializing in a way that's making them that's putting them in a position to shoot their shot. And this would be doing that. So I like that thinking. It's a heavy price, but you're getting two really good players, so you should have to pay a heavy price for that. All right, so the number one most likely scenario, Giles. Are you ready for this one?
Yes, let's do it.
All right, number one most likely scenario for the Minnesota Vikings in the first round of the 2024 NFL draft goes like this. Caleb Williams goes 1 to the Chicago Bears, and the Washington Commanders, or whoever picks at number 2, takes Jaden Daniels. This puts the New England Patriots on the clock with North Carolina quarterback Drake May on the board. It is very easy to imagine Kevin O'Connell liking Drake May. He's essentially like he is Kevin O'Connell, just in a different year and with a higher profile. Vikings quarterbacks coach Josh McCown coached Drake May in high school. And every move and non-move the Vikings have made up to this point has put them in a position to make a move from 11 to number 3 that would be a blockbuster, would involve 3 first-round picks, 11, 23, and next year's first. So the Patriots bring in an absolute haul for the number 3 overall pick. They drop down to 11. The Vikings come up, and they take North Carolina quarterback Drake May. That is what I think will happen on draft night. I think it'll be a big whoa moment where Roger Goodell will come up to the podium and say, we have a trade. New England Patriots have traded their pick. The Vikings logo will flash up on the screen, and the Vikings will be on the clock, and then Goodell will announce that they've taken Drake May, quarterback North Carolina, and then they'll show the compensation that it required the Vikings to give up for that, and there will be a big reaction, and they'll show the Vikings draft room, and there'll be hugs, high fives, and chest pounds, and then they'll show the Patriots draft room, and they'll be handshaking and high fiving and all that, and everyone will wonder what New England's going to do, but then the focus will go back to the Vikings and reacting to them taking Drake May in a very blockbuster fashion type of trade.
I just got goosebumps. That is phenomenal. That is my dream scenario, to be honest. Yeah. I will say the number two scenario that you projected is also something I'm very highly considering that we could retain 11, but I am higher on Drake May than I am JJ McCarthy. So I think with quarterback being the number one important position in the team, you got to prioritize that first versus trying to get two, right? Unless those guys are equal on those guys' boards in Egan, I think you got to go trade up and go get Drake May. And I think it's absolutely worth it with that amount of trade capital. In fact, if they told me it required more, I'd probably consider it. If he's your guy, if Kevin O'Connell is really that in love with Drake May as much as we think, I think you got to go for it, period, full stop. And I think it's also important to note you have some pretty amazing players that are coming up with some big contracts here in the next hot seconds.
Yeah.
You got to start your Super Bowl window at the right precise time. And so you got to get your quarterback right now. I don't think we can wait another year to try to start the Super Bowl clock. I think we got to do it now. So okay. I am fully on board with this, and I fully believe you're absolutely correct. This is the route that the Vikings are going to go.
Yep. It's the Super Bowl window thing that you're mentioning, Giles, is that does matter. And I think every team likes to think, They may not think Super Bowl window like we all think Super Bowl window, but whether it's slightly different in how they think about it or not, like, there is a window there, and it's the rookie scale contract and what you can do with your roster, while the quarterback of the future and the quarterback who can win you a Super Bowl is on your payroll at a rookie scale level. What you do with your roster there really is important and matters, and it's extending key guys who you know are good. It's signing free agents who are supplementing your roster. And so you're right that you have to start that at the right time when some of those other key players are in their prime, right? And you look at the left tackle and the right tackle, they're both in their prime. Justin Jefferson is in his prime. Jordan Addison is about to enter his prime. TJ Hockenson, once he's healthy again, will be resuming the prime of his career. So you're getting a lot of key pieces. Aaron Jones maybe is just about to exit that. So this is a key time, and getting the quarterback in tow is important. And they will do that if one of the three scenarios I just unfurled happens. Now, whether that quarterback ends up being the right choice or not, that remains to be seen. But you can only do so much right now, and all you can do right now is pick a player. And the Vikings have to do that, and they're in position to do so, and I think that's what will happen in two Thursdays. Now, you have your ear to the ground and are hearing whispers and other things that are a little more alternative or outside the box to the typical trade up from 11 to take a rookie. So what are you thinking or hearing?
So I have two specific scenarios that are increasing in the amount of steam in the last like 24 hours. So I think there's a chance that this could kind of culminate into a much bigger story, or it could get squashed pretty quickly.
Okay.
But the first is actually having to do with Jaden Daniels out of LSU. Mm-hmm. The Minnesota Vikings have just scheduled a full workout and private meeting with Jaden Daniels. And in my head, we are now, inches away from the NFL draft in 2024. If they were at all interested in Jaden Daniels up until this point, they would have already done this. And whether it's they were interested in him or they didn't believe he would be on the board, this close to the draft, if they're holding a private meeting with the number two conceived quarterback in the NFL draft here, I think there are other factors afoot. I think either the Commanders have chosen, hey, Jaden Daniels is not our guy, we're either trading out or picking somebody different. And I think the Vikings realize, at bare minimum, Jaden Daniels might be on the board. We probably should do our due diligence on if he's on the board, should we go for him or not? And I don't think they would be doing that if that wasn't the case, whether that they think he'll be on the board or they've realized, oh my gosh, our other two guys are not going to be on the board, whatever that might be. They are now looking into Jaden Daniels this close to the draft. Something else is happening. I don't think they would be putting in this amount of effort at this moment in time if there wasn't something else happening.
Interesting. So the thinking is, they've got word that the Commanders are taking Drake May, not Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels will be there at 3, possibly 4, possibly 5. And if they want a quarterback and they know they're going to trade up, they just don't know which quarterback they're going to get, they want to have their work done on Daniels. Mm-hmm. That's what you're saying?
I mean, in theory. There's also been word that the Commanders met with Jaden Daniels recently, and the meeting did not go well. I heard that the both parties left with a bad feeling in their or a bad taste in their mouth. So, like, I don't know. I think that this could go out in a lot of different ways. I mean, there has been a pretty common consensus that the Commanders were standing pat at number two. But if they don't like Jaden Daniels at this point in time, are they willing to trade out? And now the Vikings are realizing, oh, the number two position is open. Should we trade up to number two? And if we are, we should probably consider Jaden Daniels if he's on the board. I don't know. I'm really intrigued by that. And I think it really reveals a lot that they're sending their whole staff to do a private workout at this moment in time. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. It's notable. And you never know, is it smokescreen or is it real business? And and sometimes everyone thinks it's smokescreen, but the team's like, no, it's real business. We've just haven't gotten a chance to talk to him because he's been booked with Washington and New England and Tennessee and Vegas and Denver, and this is just when we could get there. Yeah. That's possible. From a profile standpoint, like background and like just past performance, I don't see a match with the way when I watch Daniels play, I'm impressed and I think he's good. But it doesn't look to me like it's what Kevin O'Connell, Josh McCown, and Wes Phillips would want their quarterback to how they would want him to operate. You know what I mean? So
I agree.
To me, it doesn't really fit. But I might be wrong, and they may be in love with him. So that's interesting. Yeah. There are no scenarios that I've unfolded where I have the Vikings taking Daniels. None. And I don't know that I've seen many, if any, mock drafts with Daniels going to the Vikings. So it's interesting. It's, you know, there's a new wrinkle in my brain. Every time you learn something new or experience something new, you get a wrinkle in your brain. So I got a new one. So thanks for that. Mm-hmm. I think you could easily build up hype and hope around him, Giles. And with the athleticism and the production that he had as a passer at LSU is like, he's an intriguing prospect. And then you have the connection to LSU with Justin Jefferson, and you would have to wonder if that would be a positive component of this. So interesting. And I wouldn't hate it. And it certainly beats the alternative of, well, we didn't get their hands on a quarterback this year. They'll have to try and get in position to take one next year, you know?
100%. And I think if you're looking at all the different quarterbacks in this year's draft, Jaden Daniels is maybe the most ready prospect to enter the NFL. Now, that's not meant to say he's going to be the best quarterback. I just think he's the most ready to step into the NFL day one. I think the rest of the quarterbacks in this year's draft require a little bit of tweaking here and there. Those tweakings could be fixed in training camp. They could take a full season to fix out, right? But at the end of the day, I think Jaden Daniels is the most pro-ready quarterback. So if you're looking for upside, I think that's where it's at. Now, I think when you think about absolute upside, I think there's other quarterbacks that have a higher ceiling than him, but he is most ready to step on the field today, if that makes sense. But
yeah, it does make sense.
That's kind of the angle from the draft standpoint. Something else that I'm hearing steam on that could percolate into something real, could get squashed, is the New Orleans Saints are preparing to trade Derek Carr.
Wow. Okay.
Now, preparing and doing are very different things, but I'm hearing word that the Saints are preparing to to trade Derek Carr potentially to the Dallas Cowboys.
Whoa.
Now, obviously, that whether they'll do it or not is one thing and a destination is another, but I'm hearing word that that could happen. Now, if that trade were to go down, regardless of what that means in Dallas, whether they trade Dak and they want to move off of him, or if they have two guys there, that could be one thing or another. But what do the New Orleans Saints do? They're drafting, I believe, at 13, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Are they now a prospect to go trade up?
Yes.
Because they have a sneaky good roster. I think a lot of people looked at them as like, meh, yeah, they're fine. But like, they're drafting later than the Vikings. You know, when you think about plugging in a quarterback and the NFC South is up for the taking, I don't know. I think that could be an interesting element in terms of competition to be able to trade up and go get a quarterback.
And then what are the Cowboys doing with Dak?
Well, I'm hearing rumor that they're really at a stalemate for a long-term contract. Yeah. And that could mean all right, we're going to let you play out and we'll let you walk. Or, all right, if you're not going to sign a long-term deal, then we're going to trade you out and go get someone like Derek Carr for a season or two, and then we'll go trade from there. But I'm hearing that those negotiations are not going well.
The Saints being in the quarterback market would be pesky to the Vikings because it would be another suitor for these teams in the top seven to field calls from, and it would just potentially increase the compensation you have to send New England, the Chargers, or Tennessee, or the Giants to move up. So that would be annoying and pesky if the Saints had an opening suddenly at quarterback. I can see them not being enamored with having Carr anymore. But I think Carr is a hard player to trade for and sell that to your fans right now.
I agree. If you're Jerry Jones.
Yeah, that's tough. Now, there's a team that likely will lose out in this in the quarterback sweepstakes in the draft. Right? Like Denver could end up without a quarterback and they're kind of looking for one. New England could end up without one and they're kind of looking for one. And maybe a team like that could sell the acquisition of Derek Carr. But
yeah.
At this stage in his career, I think, and he's had a good productive career and he's very easy to like, but the prospect of getting one of these quarterbacks in the draft is just much juicier and more attractive to people than acquiring Derek Carr. Interesting on the impasse that Prescott and the Cowboys are having though. It's like, it seems like every few years Dak's up for a contract, you know, he's like sneaky. He's like on the Kirk Cousins light plan. Like he's made a lot of money in his career, you know,
made a lot of money. And I think the entire Cowboys nation is in kind of an interesting spot in their arc, so to speak, because going into this offseason, Jerry Jones was very vocal about how they were going to be heavy in free agency. They're going to be heavy in the draft there. This is the year to go all in. They're going to pull a Les Snead and just going to go all in. And they were the least active team in the NFL during free agency. I think they re-signed their long snapper, and that was about it. So, I mean, they obviously let the running backs go. I mean, if Dak goes, like, that's a rebuild at that point. So I'm really intrigued to see what they're going on down there. I mean, I always feel for my boy Zim. You know, hopefully they can maintain their defense and have a good posture on that standpoint. But really interesting to see what the Dallas Cowboys are doing. But whether they're the recipient or not of Derek Carr, apparently the New Orleans Saints are preparing for that to be a reality.
Interesting. Okay. Derek Carr suddenly moving around and involved in a lot of rumor lately after, you know, a long tenure with the Oakland Raiders and then the Las Vegas Raiders. Okay. Any other interesting news notes or nuggets or rumors that you're hearing?
Apparently the Vikings have come out and solidified, or at least re-solidified, that JJ is still staying in Minnesota for the foreseeable future. He's not in a trade package. I know we've talked about if you are, up against the wall, your back is up against the wall, and you're not able to go get your quarterback unless you put JJ in a package. Do you do it? I think the Vikings, whether that's reality or trying to posture, Justin Jefferson is not for sale.
And I do believe that, Giles. I think Justin Jefferson is in the plans and will sign a long-term deal with the Vikings. And I actually have I have this as a content topic for a future episode that we'll record, but I don't think the need to worry and stress about this is there for the for the team or its fans. I think Jefferson will be a Viking. I think he's going to sign a big money deal, and I'm not concerned about that. Now, if it gets to a point where there's impasse and he's dealt, deciding what that compensation might look like will be interesting because everyone knows he's the best receiver in the league and will command the most you could get for any non-quarterback in a trade. Everyone agrees on that. But even with that being established, you as the Vikings can't help but overvalue your own player relative to what other people think of him, right?
Yeah,
I mean, that just happens. It's like, you know, you think it takes X to get him, to get this player because he's yours, but really the market is like 0.65X, you know? It's like, it's really not what you think it is. So it would be interesting to to see the tug of war, the take and give on a compensation for a player like Justin Jefferson. But I just don't think we're going to get there. I believe that what you just said you're hearing, I believe is true. Do you believe that's true, that he'll be a Viking?
I do, yes.
Yeah.
100%. Yep. Especially because I think they've involved him in the quarterback discussions on their direction and where they're looking to go. Unless they completely falter out of the quarterback plans and we decide to just let some slappy be quarterback and that creates a falling out, I expect him to be in purple for a while.
Yeah, same. All right, so it's Friday. We're going to record again next week, as we always do. Are you going to be prepared at that point to broadcast your official prediction as to what the Vikings do in the draft? I've already settled on mine. It's the number one scenario I unveiled today. It's a trade up to 3 with New England for Drake May. Now, we can receive more information and our opinions can change. So, but 90% is that's what I'm thinking they're doing. And, you know, with the information I have, the conversations I've had with what you and I have talked about and my sense of reading things, that's what I think they're doing. Are you going to be ready to do that next week when we record, or are you going to wait till the week of?
Oh, no, I'll do it next week. You bet your bottom dollar. I'll have a prediction. I'll put dollars to donuts here. We'll put it in the sand. So, 100%. We'll have one ready, and it may not be what you think it is.
Ooh, I like that. A little teaser right there. We call that a teaser in the business. I like it. We've talked about so many different scenarios. You'd almost say you can't come up with a new one, Giles, but I know you can. I know you can. So
challenge accepted.
I'm excited for that. All right. That's going to do it for this episode of the Wobcast 2.0. We thank you all for listening, and we encourage you to like, subscribe, and follow the Wobcast 2.0. You can do that wherever you do that with all your other favorite football content and podcasts. On behalf of Giles, this is Wobby signing off for now. Until next time, Skol Vikings.